after years in stasis lock. Freshly released from the bowels of Cybertron itself. The legend returns. Transformers! Now, broadcasting from the underground transmitters of TFormers.com and TFPodcast.com comes... Ryan.
I took the LIFO, like, life assessment test, and it said that I was too passive, so now I'm going to be aggressive.
JD.
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings except for Decepticons who get shot in the head.
XB.
Now, I don't mean that in the hateful, sarcastic way I usually say it.
John.
No, I just imagine you, like, sweating and biting your lip and kind of slowly leaning forward.
Ender.
We have a long-standing relationship, me and Hasbro. I give them money, they give me stuff. When they won't give me stuff, it ticks me off.
And Rob.
I haven't paid the dolls any attention. I'm more about the 3-inch Real American Hero guys, but Firefly's rad. He wants to tell you about Transformers.
This is not your father's podcast. This is Radio Free Cybertron.
It's organic.
Yeah, it is organic. Sort of like Cybertron is. So, yeah, this,
well,
this
now.
Is... Yeah, now. This is Radio Free Cybertron. You know what you're listening to. This week we have the usual crew. We don't have a clue. And Bweebum is
Brian
here with
us. Doesn't for sure this week.
That is true. I'm really kind of, like, not awake right now. So I'm going to, like, not make a lot of sense. So I'm going to try to pull back and let everyone else sort of blabber for the whole show.
Basically, this is going to be the best Radio Free Cybertron ever.
Perhaps. on this week's show, we have lots of crap. We have an interview with Bernard Kemmerow from Glue.
An exciting interview.
Yeah, it was a good interview.
Yep.
It was with Bernard, and he tells us about the new game for the iPhone/iPod Touch/iPad. So
current, dual and double pixelation.
Yeah, they're pixel doubling. Fantastic. So let's go ahead and jump on the news. There's quite a bit this week. Last Night of the Wreckers, number one, came out. Hope you've all read it. Ender's going to talk about it later on in the show. I mean,
I'm going to tell you to buy it is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's all he's going to say.
Yeah, get off your butt, now. Turn this off, walk right yeah. now. Don't even
wait to spoil the ending.
No. Put it on your iPod and take it with you while you're buying the comic.
Yeah, put it on your iPad. Okay.
That's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, actually, for BotCon, we're going to have like a recommended shows for people to listen to while they're waiting in line. We're trying to milk that whole, interactive listening.
Are there just going to be a whole bunch of RSC throwbacks or what?
Oh, man. Yeah. No.
You don't walk around with a hard drive so people can plug into it as we walk down the lines.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Oh. I know.
Get your podcast.
Yeah. Hey, podcast here.
Podcast.
We're going to talk about how bored you are right now.
We could totally do commentary for waiting in line.
Before. It's like, you think this line is bad? You should listen to our commentary of the line we were in this morning.
It's like, you see that guy over there? That guy, it looks like he's a virgin? He really is.
let's go talk to him right now. Sir, are you a virgin?
Yeah, well, so what's wrong with that? I cherish my body.
Sir, you're 45.
But no one else does.
Okay, coming soon from Japan, animated Built to Roll? Seriously? I saw these. Yep. Are they built to roll? I hope they're not.
They're not actually built to roll, but they're of similar quality.
Questionable quality.
Which is crap.
What quality would that be?
Oh, those things are so bad. We already know.
But Bumblebee is spectacularly bad.
That looks
take a look.
Looks like lower quality than to rule.
They look smaller.
I collect primes, and I'm going to buy that prime, and I'm going to resent it.
Bumblebee looks worse than something I drew in grade school when I tried to draw a sports car.
That looks like something that I would draw.
Built to rule.
The Bumblebee Happy Meal toy last summer?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh yeah.
This looks worse than that.
That one was technically a toy.
Vehicle mode? Is that like a golf cart with a... I mean, what the heck is that? It's not even... Okay, anyway.
You know, that's the kind of Transformer we need more of, if you ask me. We need some golf carts. I want a Transformer named Tollbooth.
That's actually more like a GoBot sort of deal. GoBot's got more right now? Vehicles.
I want the rejects. I want some reject Transformers. I want the people who aren't in the war because they just suck too hard.
I want the traffic light from Cybertron.
Wait, we had Skids and Mudflap already, so we got that.
At least their vehicle modes were cool.
Yeah, you know, why? Someone has to, I mentioned this before, someone has to kit bash Mudflap and Skids into a short bus. We have to have that.
God.
Really?
I mean, it's like
I've actually spent time thinking about that, like figuring out how I would do it. I'm so tempted. Like, I wish I wasn't broke and I didn't suck.
It's a worthwhile project.
Yeah, it's worthwhile. Yep. Totally.
Yes. Perhaps one of our listeners can take up the torch.
Crazy Steve. We like mention you every week. You should totally get on that.
Yes.
For my money, you could just take a Skids and Mudflap toy, and if you want to take up the torch, you could just set it on fire.
That works too.
There you go.
Let's see here. Animated RC and Cybertron mode Ratchet out February. And of course, like suspected, they're Toys R Us exclusives. Yay.
And in some places, they are already showing up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. I've been looking.
It's just in time for my birthday, so, you know.
I'm just going to buy every RC I find.
So he can't have it for his birthday?
Thanks.
Happy birthday, sucker.
Man, you really are me, aren't you?
Somewhere, Headmaster Dawn is just sitting there smiling. I'm almost there.
We need to get Headmaster Dawn on the show. He's a nice guy.
We do. Yeah. We need to have him review that toy.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
We were able to get Metalhawk Guy on. We have to go for Headmaster Don next. And then if I can find if I can get Frank Gross, that would be even better.
Web TV's Frank.
He's have to edit that so heavily, though.
Yeah. Web TV's Frank is like, I got a picture of me and him together at BotCon 06, and he is like the nicest dude ever.
What are you wearing in it?
I'm wearing...
what Blake's wearing in it.
Yeah.
Do you remember taking the picture?
I didn't take the picture. Hooper X took the picture.
I mean, do you remember being
I remember.
He had that wonderful hat with a bunch of Transformers heads glued on it.
Yeah, he's awesome. Oh, God. You know, the ultimate would be Deathy, but Tiger Megatron, but that would just sort of ruin the magic. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You keep trying to get me to tell you it's a good idea.
And you keep saying no. let's see, Hasbro. Yeah, he's awesome. He's actually, I saw he's on AllSpark now. Because
what?
Because Alt Toys Transformers is going through like this big flame war with
Rob Cypher.
With Rob Cypher, who is in a way awesome, but in a way really, really lame.
Really bad flames.
Yeah.
Really bad trolling.
Rob Cypher, I think he is a really smart dude because he was like on that show Intervention. He's supposed to be on DXM or whatever, and he was addicted. I think he's actually trolling that show, which is brilliant. So everyone needs to look for Ben Intervention, Rob Cypher. Find it, watch it. It's hilarious. He was trolling that show. It's amazing. It's like the best troll ever. But his Usenet trolling is the suck. Hasbro confirms War for Cybertron toy line. It's going to be a limited toy line. So far, we've seen Optimus, Megatron, and Bumblebee.
Can we like cue a like little hallelujah chorus for that? We're gonna get good toys from a new line.
Are we?
Is it? Is
I
it?
I think these are.
I mean, for one, is it so much to ask to get a picture of a toy transformed correctly? Like,
okay,
is this
like
rocket science?
At this point, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you? I mean, is it?
Yeah.
What kind of question is that?
Yeah. You gotta remember that there is, you know. There is a lot more at Hasbro. They sit around, and the noise that comes out of Hasbro is much less the "mwah-ha" we all suspect it is, and much more of an "oops," you know, like song.
I get that, you know? But it's like get a 5-year old, get them in there to transform it for them, and then take the picture. I mean, it's not.
You want to know the question? You want to know
they
something?
The monkey quota.
I used to take pictures for helmets, right? Replica helmets. And I did the worst freaking job ever because I just hated my job. Can you imagine? I can just imagine this 17-year-old intern who just says, who's just given a camera and a toy and said, here, take this picture now.
XV, take that job.
Right.
It probably paid like $13 an hour.
With all these moving parts, and this like 17-year-old intern is just sitting there looking at it, going like, "So how can I make this look like it has a penis?"
Oh, that's gonna be But and what is it that Megatron turns into?
A Roomba.
He will sweep Cybertron clean of the Autobot filth.
He's some tank of some sort, like Cybertronian tank of some sort.
I'm tired of tanks.
I thought he was like an airship thing. Spaceship. Whatever.
I can't tell with the being on the ground thing.
Hey, if he didn't have to turn into anything in the movie, why does he have to turn into anything in the game?
Watch he didn't have to turn into anything in animated either.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, no. He's an Osprey. It has a name. It's not.
It's not his Cybertronian mode, though.
Yeah, the Cybertronian thing.
Oh, that's the lamest transformation ever.
It's just a phallus, really. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That kind of fits Megatron, doesn't it?
Well, if you're a
spaceship with a giant horking gun on it, I mean, wouldn't that be pretty decent alt mode for Megatron when you think about it?
If I was a giant gun and I could fly around, I wouldn't get myself a decent alternate mode either.
That's true.
That's true.
You're kind of the biggest gun on the face of the planet. No.
Oh,
but no, the flying gun thing is more traditionally correct for Shockwave.
Yes.
He does, he's literally a flying gun.
Yeah, that's a flying gun with a trigger because of scale problems they were having with, you know, getting the toys to fit into the toy line they had created out of disparate things. I mean, that's
not... I'm just saying that when Megatron transformed into a gun, somebody had to carry him.
And when Shockwave transformed into a giant gun for the first time in the show, even at the tender age of 4, I think I said, seriously?
Okay.
Japan's
Unite for the Universe Prime with Jetfire Corpse and Megatron. That actually looks pretty good.
Yep.
I would really like to get that Prime with Jetfire's decomposing body.
I'm actually pretty impressed by it. I'm actually looking at that. Will that be released stateside?
I hope so. What size is that?
We're getting Voyager. We're getting the Legends Devastator. So why not?
Well, see, the problem just is that with the Jetfire parts added in, what size class does it sell at? Does it make it to Ultra, or is it going to have to be a Leader class for the extra parts?
Supreme. Oh, for crying out loud! I have to buy that Prime again.
No, just double the Leader price. You know, it's probably like a deluxe size Optimus with a deluxe size Corpse.
It's the Voyager Optimus.
It's the Voyager Optimus. I can see it. They've sold it half a dozen times.
Yeah, right. It's definitely the Voyager Optimus, no doubt. But I don't know. Maybe like in animated, they have that armor, the power up. Optimus Prime for animated, I think.
Right. Well, I was thinking maybe what I should do is paint the Jetfire armor white and red, and then bust out that G1 painted version of Voyager Prime they did. What was it? It had some funny name. Final. I don't know. Anyway, one of the 8 versions of Voyager Prime from the first movie they released that has the classic silver stripe and no flames and proves that Michael Bay is wrong about everything. Maybe I'll attach it to that. Just have like the G1-ized version.
Just to foil your plans, though, this Voyager Prime is probably remolded to connect with the Jetfire parts.
Wah, wah, wah.
I hate everything.
Welcome to the club.
Fans Project is part of. Are they actually creating from scratch a Bruticus, or is that like to go on to like Bruticus Maximus or whatever?
They're creating 2/5 of a Bruticus.
I think their idea was to replace
replace
the parts that made no damn sense.
Right. So, I like Blastoff as a tank.
Yeah. So yeah, now they're making Swindle, and General Techno on Twitter had a great point. When they actually like do the website where they're trying to peddle this, they need to actually have the Swindle on screen telling you why you should buy it.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I thought was fantastic. I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, but I've said this a million times. I don't like these things because there's already a Swindle on the shelf at Walmart right now. I'm looking at it right now. Right. So it's kind of...
Which Swindle are we talking about?
Animated, animated Swindle is still available.
True, but he's not classic Swindle, which this looks far more like.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised people aren't making a bigger deal of them, like, in this leaping into making two complete Transformers. That's quite a leap from armor.
Yeah, when are they getting that cease and desist is what I'm wondering, and how hard is it going to hurt
them? Got a cease and desist, like, a month and a half ago. I can't believe that they've not gotten a cease and desist. I'm not joking. I really did, and I'm not gonna say anything about it. But I got a cease and desist. So
yeah, I can't believe they haven't gotten more flack for this. On the other hand, I'm a sucker for a Swindle. I thought one of these mod companies already got a cease and desist.
I thought like all the knockoff manufacturers or Big Lots got a C&D letter because
Big Lots got one over carrying knockoffs of stuff Hasbro was currently selling at Big Lots.
So that's what's gone. I mean, all the other knockoffs are still there.
Right, because
they have the Machine Robo knockoffs, but not too many more Beast Wars Megatrons later on.
Mine still has the Beast Wars Transmetal 2 Megatrons as well as Gigastorm.
Yeah, what it really was, it was the oversized knockoffs of like the Legends and the Minicons.
Oh yes,
which is stuff that Hasbro was pushing through Big Lots already anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I noticed as soon as that stuff went out, Big Lots started having actual cheap Hasbro product for the Transformers.
It's not cheap. I mean,
it's not as cheap, certainly, but
yeah, it's more than normal retail.
It's more than retail.
Yeah, I can get a Minicon for $6.
This is my request for the knockoff makers: find those robot heroes they didn't make and make those.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Because apparently Hasbro has no interest, and I like my Beast Machines Optimus Primal. I think that makes a great robot hero. I thought it was a good history series. I don't know what they're thinking pulling that.
I don't know how successful it was. I mean, you still see those toys like sitting at Big Lots, which is a Liquidator. So
I don't see that many around here anyway, I guess. But the robot heroes that I see are from the movie, because those things did not translate into robot heroes.
No, they absolutely didn't. Virtually every single robot heroes I see, though, are G1 robot heroes. That's virtually everything that I see.
I do see
Beast Wars.
I see the occasional Beast Wars, but the ones they were making at the end are the ones you really don't see.
Yeah,
because they were getting better too. The first wave they had out was like the big names. I think went fine, and then they had like a middle wave that didn't go so well. And I guess maybe they're comparing it to movie sales a lot would be my thought. But the movie ones were just awful.
I will take more robot heroes,
but the ones from Revenge of the Fallen.
I will take more robot heroes and more superhero squad, please.
Well, the superhero squad, as I understand it, was doing really good, and they're still doing it.
Yes, I want more. I will gladly take more.
And every company on Earth has copied this super deformed two-pack business model. Yep. There are ones
Bandai's gotten into it with Power Rangers now.
I have Doctor Who Time Squad figures. I have a little super deformed Davros. Everyone has copied this.
Ooh, Davros.
I am fortunately ignorant. I have not watched Doctor Who since I was 7, so...
I've never watched Doctor Who.
You have some catching up to do.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. I can tell you're the sort of person you've just been missing it. You're like one of those like fat people with a thin person inside. Somewhere inside you there's Dr. Who fan.
That's pretty good. Okay, so I'm actually looking at this next story right now because I have no idea what it's about. Look at TF Hero Toys that made it to prototype. Okay. What is this?
Everybody wait while Brian looks.
it's some of the stuff when they were first designing heroes as opposed to animated, and it looks like it might be Rhinox and Hot Rod in gray form.
When it was Transformers Heroes, and that was the original. I thought that the conceptual art was entirely different than animated, though, for Heroes.
Yeah.
No, it's much more anime-ish. It looked like from a AllSpark animated perspective.
Yeah, much more mecha.
It wasn't a bad idea. I wouldn't mind seeing those. Actually, does it make you wonder, because they seem to kill that so early in the conceptual process, that we wouldn't have seen prototypes, that this may actually be a leak of something to come?
I don't know. They had prototypes of Transtech stuff, and
that's true.
We're not going to see that. They got that.
I mean, they had prototypes of everything. They had prototypes of Unicron from the G1 series.
Yeah, they seem to jump to prototypes really quick.
Yeah.
Well, they want to make a toy that, you know, they've really got to get to work already, and, you know, what can be fixed during production is different than a brand new sculpt from the get-go.
There's going to be a new round of exclusive toys. Walmart is getting the Constructicon Devastator Legend class, and there are some new Nest exclusives, including Beachcomber, Awesome, and Deadlift, as well as Slapdash and Trenchmouth. So those are scouts. Beachcomber looks good.
Yes, he does. That's a good toy, too, the mold.
And Deadlift, that wasn't the name of the GoBot front loader, was it?
Spoons, wasn't it?
Spoons, yeah. So, but he looks, he's the same color.
Yeah.
Actually,
but going back to what Ender was saying, like really crappy alt modes, I don't know. I don't really think you'd be much of a Transformer if you were a forklift.
That's why he was a GoBot. But now we have a Transformer.
He actually comes from something from the game. Wasn't that the deal with it, this mold?
Is it?
This is from the game.
I thought, the first game,
from the
right?
first game. This is from the first game. He's even got the little sort of spark chamber looking thingy in his chest.
It does,
something to do with those.
The washing machine.
The washing machine, right. Yeah, so he's, I think he's a game design is where he comes from.
Okay.
Really?
Well, someone's got a load of
ships. I still don't get the forklift part, though.
Scaleface will correct us if we're wrong, so.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Or if we're right, you know.
Come and get me!
Bring it.
Foot in mouth. No.
Yeah. Those were Walmart. Toys R Us has Global Alliance, Mudflap and Skids, and what is it? Demolisher. Sweet. He's Voyager. That's a 2-pack. So that's pretty cool.
When are those packs they had at Toys R Us going to go on clearance? Does anyone else notice those three feet
never
high?
Doesn't Toys R Us wait until Black Friday to put stuff on clearance?
Yeah,
they just put it in the back and they wait until Black Friday and they're bringing out toys from 3 years ago.
Yeah, Walmart will put things on clearance every other week. Then they will take them out of clearance, but Toys R Us really doesn't do it.
Toys R Us has this sign up front that says clearance madness or whatever. And you go into the Transformers aisle, and the one I was at most recently had them stacked, I think 4, maybe 5 deep, and at least 3 high. Both of the 3-pack that had Soundwave and the Fallen in it, and of their little 2-packs with Bludgeon and whoever.
Whirl.
Did they sell any of those? I mean, seriously. And those and they're not qualified for any kind of clearance? Not even the crappy Walmart? It was 1994, and now it's $19 on clearance. I love that. But it can't even get that.
Yeah, my Walmart had the Skywarp, the Masterpiece Skywarps, on clearance for $60.
Woohoo!
Wow. Really?
Clearance for zero.
Yeah, see, that's actually something I was just going to mention. The Walmart here, it will put the red and white sticker on something, so it looks like it's on clearance, but it's still the same price.
Yep.
It's no longer part of it.
They literally moved them all to the clearance aisle, had them marked at 60 and sitting there. I'm like, what?
You know what? It's kind of like when you go to the supermarket.
Try to trick the customers.
Yeah. It's like when you go to the supermarket and you want to buy something and you're like, oh, cool, this is on sale. Save 10 cents each.
And if you have any complaints, send them to our corporate headquarters in Latveria.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How long did Toys R Us have Transquito, by the way? I think I remember around 2008.
Dude, I remember Transquito being there forever and a day.
God. Yeah, you could have built a house out of all the boxes.
Ba-boom, ba-boom.
I remember seriousness, seeing one sitting on clearance for 48 cents.
What was it?
Wow.
Transquito.
Transquito is worth 48 cents.
Yeah.
He's a good toy. Well, he's an okay toy.
$3.
I did see a Walmart with animated leaders down to $20 and rollout Command Optimus Prime's also down to $20.
They have Ultra Magnus at one of my local Walmarts for $20.
Yeah, that's the one I want to get for $20, and I can't find one. I just find Megatron.
XV's has Roadbuster.
Anymore.
Ah, crap. Okay. Yeah. Target has some clearance stuff not worth mentioning, and Kmart has Nebular Starscream. Yay. Okay.
Oh, yeah, somebody had sent
it. Target goes through their clearance stuff well, though. They have, like, they get rid of their crap like gangbusters, man. They come in there, like 30% one day, 50% 2 days later, and the week after that, it's 75%. Yeah. And they
had at one time with those animated Voyager and Activator 2 packs for $5.
Oh, I got it. I stocked up on those, actually. I wanted Kitbash a whole bunch of animated. I'm not a big Kitbasher, but there's just not enough animated toys for me. I love the freaking things, and nothing else looks like them. So when they did that, I actually grabbed a bunch of those because I wanted to use them for parts.
So I don't know if you guys have been to Walmart lately. Apparently, there's like somebody sent in a tip today that Ultras are on sale or something for like 20.
Again?
Yeah, apparently.
Ultras this time.
I was there yesterday, and they weren't. That. But
you know, if I wanted to buy Ultras, I would go to Big Bad Toy Store. This weekend they have some new arrivals, Bumblebee and Soundwave Nest Battle Pack, as well as Human Alliance Barricade, Voyager set of Mind Wipe, and Defender Optimus, and Optimus is, of course, available separately. Leader Shadow Command Megatron, he's also available in a set with Optimus. They have in 2010 Scout sets and cases, 2010 Legends case, several licensed Korean Galaxy Force toys, awesome, and Generations 2009 Volume 3 exclusive Skids and Screech set. They have some fan company items in as well, including Constructicon Brigade power parts.
That's Construction Brigade. We don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Yes, that's the never mind. Construction. There's no third C in there, so it's Construction Brigade power parts and Computer Control Center. So check out our friends at Big Bad Toy Store, www.bbts.com. Follow them on Twitter at Big Bad Toy Store, and tell them when you buy something from them that you heard about them at Radio Free Cybertron. We'd like to thank our friends at Big Bad Toy Store. Okay, what were you guys saying?
I want one of those computer panels.
They look cool. I just don't have a place for it.
I don't have $120 for it.
Yeah,
I am poor.
Soundwave that does it for me. The little cartoony Soundwave.
That is excellent. That is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
That totally sells it for me. Even my wife was like, "Ooh, can we get that?"
And really? Then she saw the price. But don't let that deter you from buying the computer control center. Okay, JD, let's go ahead. Tell us what happened this day in history, then we'll take a break.
January 31st, Energon premieres in the U.S. Yay.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
the kingdom fell under 100 years of sleep.
And and in a more fan-ish related piece, the first known use of the term G1 was used on January 29th. That was 2003.
G-E-E-W-U-N. G1.
Who is the first user of that term?
Let's see here.
What was that guy's name? It was a typo, wasn't it?
With a tfarchive.com user named Cliffjumper.
Yeah.
Hey, Cliffjumper.
Oh.
There's your internet smack.
See, it looks like term. Nevermore.
Oh, I hate that term.
Nevermore is actually the first person to actually spread it. Probably he was like the evangelist for G1. Nevermore is awesome.
All right, well, he's next.
Yeah, we've had Nevermore on the show. We need to get him back on. We could do like a European segment where we just like talk about Eurocentric stuff, and Nevermore could totally do it. So.
We should get Monzo for that too, since he knows everything.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have a Stunt Monzo this week, but we will return next week with the Stunt Monzo. Well, one quick note: speaking of Europeans, Chris McFeely will be joining us on a new podcast this weekend, and it's a comic book.
And I will resume our epic battle.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. And it's a comic book podcast. We've been planning it for a while, but we don't have a name. So I'm going to give you a link to a poll where you get to vote on the name. We are accepting votes at tformers.com, or you can also email us. Email me, Brian, at tfradio.net. We'll tally the results, and when the show launches Sunday, you'll find out what the show's name is. Go with Bagged and Boarded, it's the best. And
Yeah. I like Age of a Crapple myself.
I think that would be like Ender's like picks of the worst comics for the week. I think that's probably more fair.
As long as it gets in there somewhere, that's
yeah,
good.
That's got to be used. Yeah. That's got to be used.
Hey, not you know, I think both of them are mine, as I recall. So you know,
yeah.
Ego is satiated. Whichever you go for.
Yeah, Bagged and Boarded is my favorite. So vote for Bagged and Boarded. Go to tformers.com or follow the link from the show notes, or you can email me. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break, and we will return with the interview with Bernard Camaral. With us this week, we have Bernard Camaral, who is working on the new Transformers iPhone game. Bernard, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the upcoming game?
Hi, guys. My name is Bernard Camaral. I'm with Glue Mobile. We produce some of the great mobile phone games for the iPhone, iPod Touch, for feature phones as well. The game that I'm talking about today is Transformers G1, and that'll be for the iPhone and iPod Touch. It is a turn-based strategy game, and it's based in the Transformers G1 universe. The game itself has 23 of the characters from the original series, and it includes 17 levels in story mode. So it's a deep experience, and you're able to dive right into the G1 universe.
You said that you've been a fan since high school. Is that what, led you to work on this game, or is it just luck that you happen to be a fan and the opportunity came up?
You know, I came to work for Glue because I love the games that they create. And, it just was kind of a little bit of talking to my manager to see, if I could work on this title. Because, as I mentioned, I've been a fan since high school. Used to come home and geek out and watch, watch the ultimate forces of Optimus Prime and Megatron go at it. So I was really excited about that. And, I've got a 4-year-old son at home as well, and, he loves the Transformers as much as I do. So it's been a real pleasure working on the brand.
What kind of input did you have into the direction of this game? What were your responsibilities?
I'm actually the product marketing manager for the title. I was able to work closely with Hasbro, with the characters in the game. I was able to give input in, the actual way that the game was portrayed and some of the branding there. Since I am a true fan of the game, I also wanted the game to be true to the G1 universe.
How did you go about, doing that, making it sort of true to the feel of the G1 cartoon?
The G1 game has 3D animations, rich 3D animations, modeling from the G1 universe. The graphics have been upgraded as well. So, the look and feel of it is very much all about kind of that 80s style. For true fans, they'll truly enjoy it.
Say, Bernard, were you in the gang over at BotCon 2008, I believe?
No, I was not. And to tell you the truth, I'm relatively new to Glue. I've been in the game industry for a bit, but I'm excited about the opportunity to have great games and to work on great great products.
Yeah, I just remember seeing a couple of you guys from Glue there had a table. I think it was the Transformers The Awakening or whatever you guys were there promoting, and you had like a stack of stickers. I'm sorry, I think I took like a case of those home. But my girlfriend has one on her car. One ended up in her apartment window. But was The Awakening and this game the same game, or am I just behind a curve somewhere on this one, or...?
There was an original Java version of this game that came out in at the end of 2008, early 2009. Mm-hmm. And this version has been completely revamped. It has upgraded graphics. It has some cinematic 3D animations. It really takes into account the features and controls of the iPhone. So there's multi-touch, zoom in, zoom out. All the controls are native to iPhone and iPod. So we've really kind of taken that experience and taken it to the next level. You know, one of the cool things about it as well is that you can access your iPod music within the game. So as you're playing, you can have, you know, your own kind of Transformers playlist while you're playing. So that's actually another kind of cool feature of it.
Hey, Bernard, this is John. I got a couple questions. You know, first of all, I guess if you could give us an idea of, like, how long it took to create this game, you know how many hours are really behind something like this, and then if there's anything specific about the game, any feature or one thing that you think really jumps out as something kind of unique and interesting.
Some of the features that really kind of jump out about this game, you know, as I mentioned, it has 23 characters from the original series, and each character has their own unique ability. So, for example, you know, Optimus Prime, obviously he's strong in battle. Ratchet is a healer, so he can actually heal, injured or damaged Autobots. But his fighting abilities aren't that great. Some characters are faster than others. And so, you know, each character has a unique ability. So the way that you use those characters has to be very strategic. On top of that, you know, there's bonus and additional bonuses for working together as a team. So when you've got your Autobots and you have a specific mission, you encounter Decepticons. If you attack together as a team and have adjacent attacks, you get bonus attacks included with that. Terrain takes the terrain is an important part of the game as well, and that that affects the outcome of skirmishes and battles.
How long does it take to create a game like this? You know, I mean, like how long has this been kind of in the making? You know, what kind of hours are behind something like this?
And also, how much input did Hasbro have on this? I'm kind of curious about that sort of thing too.
Sure. You know, Hasbro is a strong partner of ours, and so the amount of work and you know all the work is collaborative. We work closely with them. All approvals go through Hasbro, so you know they are the true brand holders. And you know, we want to represent their products as true to their brand as possible. In regards to the amount of time that it took to build the game, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the call, I'm relatively new to Glue, so I don't really have the backstory on, you know, the amount of time that it took to actually build it out. Usually the producer on the title is the person who can answer that question. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today.
Seeing that this is based in G1, about what time frame would you really think? Like, are we talking season 1, 2, or are we going to see some guys from 3, like Hot Rod or...
Like after the Rod, movie.
Yeah, after the movie, or maybe even some of the crazy Japanese guys like Overlord or anything like that?
You know what, it's the experience is really TV-based, and, you know, it really starts from the beginning. You know, some of the characters that you'll see, you know, obviously the favorites like Bumblebee, Optimus Prime, Ratchet, Ironhide. You know, from the Decepticon side, you'll see Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, Frenzy's in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great kind of compilation of all the best characters. And, you know, again, you'll have a chance to experience them and battle against each other. There's a story mode. There's also a showdown mode, which is objective-based. And then there's a Cybertron arena mode where you can play head-to-head versus AI.
Oh, PvP. That's really awesome.
Yeah, so you can actually play against a friend as you pass the iPod back and forth.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Bernard, you said this will come out in February?
Yes, end of February.
And how can we learn more and keep up to date on this?
You know, the best place to go is to glue.com. We'll be able to, you know, provide updates and information there. People can also join our Facebook page and Twitter, you know, Twitter feed.
Glue is glue.com is glu.com.
Yes. I'm sorry. It's www.glu.com. And Twitter is twitter.com/glue mobile.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being with us here this week. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the time, guys. And, you know, we're all really excited about this launch. I think it'll be a great addition to all the great products and toys that are out there for the fans.
To be or not to be, Nebby's question. What is answer? Me not know. Slag, what is answer?
Me not know. Me Slag say you full of beryllium baloney.
Snarl, tell me answer. Me Snarl want to be.
Yes, no. Me want to be too.
Me want to be too.
Too.
And thanks to Bernard and Glue for speaking with us. We'll have more information on the game upcoming. The Last Stand of the Wreckers number 1 came out today, and I think the most of us read it, and Ender has reviewed it at tformers.com. We wanted to give Ender center stage here to tell us about this comic.
Alright, I gave this comic a perfect score, and it's because a lot of Transformers comics especially have been, quite frankly, a little lackluster lately, and a lot of those problems have been really functional issues. This comic and this series is written and drawn by Nick Roche. Nick Roche is as good as Transformers comics get. This is a fantastic issue. I think it's going to be a great series. More happens in these 22 pages than in the last like 5 or 6 Transformers comics I've read. And in a seamless way, with good dialogue, really enjoyable artwork, and you know, it's not hyper realistic, it's not overly cartoony. It really captures the flavor of not what G1 was in reality, but I think of what G1 was in our heads when we think back to like what made it cool for us. Nick Roche has got that, and he has really captured it really well. What he's done before, for reference, was Spotlight Cup, which was a fantastic issue. And All Hail Megatron, number 15, he wrote the first half of. Some people, including myself, jokingly called it Spotlight Prowl. I think those 11 pages, those are my – that's like my top read in the Transformers comicdom for the entire decade of, you know, 2000 to – 2009. I mean, just absolutely spot on perfect. Nick Roche does not waste a frame, does not waste a word. I wonder if the guy even realizes how good a job he's doing. I was lucky enough at BotCon this year, just at random, to sit down at breakfast with the guy. He is a real fan. He is totally delighted to engage with other fans about the subject of the Transformers and about Transformers comics. This is a man who read Transformers comics as a kid. And we can only hope that what he is doing is the future of Transformers comicdom. It is deep. It is fun. It is well-structured. I mean, he puts together a story so well. There's just like no space for, you know, I think about like the ongoing, right? First issue, tons of stuff happens. You can hardly keep up with it. There's huge events every 3 seconds, and it's just a total like mind-blowing media fest. Honestly, it felt like it was just trying to get attention. And then for the 2 issues after, nothing. Transformers number 3, nothing happens. Everything is going to happen. Nothing happens. This issue is not like that at all. Tons of stuff happens. We get real connections to All Hail Megatron. We get parts of All Hail Megatron we wondered about, things about like the siege from the Decepticons, stuff that was touched upon but not played with. We get to see a broader scope of the battle between the Autobots and Decepticons than we usually get. We get great characters, nobody's background color, which is, I mean, there's just tons of in the ongoing, you know, just people are dropped in there like confetti. But everybody has a personality in here. Every word is calculated. This is a great comic book. It's a first issue, and it's full of characters we haven't seen before. There's tons of introductions here, but everybody is somebody. Everybody feels real. And everything goes somewhere and feels like it's going somewhere. And it's something you notice, I think, more when you read a lot of comic books. But this is a well-structured first issue. And it deserves the rating I give it. And you need to get up and go buy this thing right now. You need to support this kind of effort in the Transformers comicdom, because we don't see it often. And we need IDW to understand that this is what we want. I couldn't find this issue today. I got up and went out and looked for it and couldn't find myself a copy. I had to call a buddy at a big comic store and have him put a couple aside for me, and I think he pulled it from somebody's reserve box. So go find this one, everybody. This is a great comic book.
Without going too far into spoiler territory, I was disappointed with what happened with Skyquake, because I love Skyquake.
Well, yeah, and especially, yeah, again, I mean, this will be spoiler, so I mean, anybody that hasn't read it, just... You know, but I mean,
skip ahead.
But I mean, I went through most of it. I mean, my typical comic book reading is to skim and look at the art, and then I'll go back and read. But they killed Skyquake right at the beginning. I mean, that's so cliche. How is that awesome? I mean, it's so cliche to bring a character.
I'd like to request my bleep here.
Yes,
Skyquake.
Dude, Skyquake.
Okay.
I couldn't care less. I didn't even notice.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's exactly the thing. It's so cliche to bring in a character that is like, oh, we've pulled in a character, and
it's
then we're going
to
kill them.
And he's going to kill off someone else to show his power.
Exactly.
That's the Captain Hooking of every villain in most great things ever. If you check... I bet you'll find most great literature, most great movies, most great comics, villain introduction includes the killing of one of your own men.
Which is cliche. Why? How is that awesome?
It's cliche because it's something that works.
Why? I guess I could understand that. I don't know. It's just not that.
I didn't even know who that was.
Like,
he was like Decepticon number 4. And he got blown apart to establish the hardcoreness of the villain. And that's a very there's something standardized about this, but being able to pull in those things and use them properly, use them in their proper place, is a skill.
Can explain to me why Verity is half naked. And explain to me why that is necessary.
If this were the ongoing, there'd be 4 of her and there'd be no reason for her to be there.
Okay, but I mean, again, it's like I don't mind the character being there. I just think it's a bit sexist, again, and cliche to have her, you know, running around with Autobots half naked with robot arms. I mean, whatever. I don't know.
This is the only comic I have ever liked Verity in. I thought she was a gratuitous addition to every comic in IDW besides this.
Like I said, grain of salt, because I've done my like initial look at the comic and I haven't read it completely. So again, the dialogue may be great, there may be some more redeeming parts, but those are bits that stuck out to me that were just sort of a bit of a thorn that I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this.
See, what I like about this is I'm kind of a completist. I'm not quite there, but on like the Euro pre-G2 toys, you know, like Skyquake and Rotor Storm and the like. So it's good for me to see all these characters in, like, new fiction. I like that a lot. But, dude, Skyquake, not cool.
Yeah. They should have killed Warmonger instead.
Mm.
That would have been
Wow, but both of those are about the same thing to me. And I'm not somebody who doesn't know my Transformers, but that's still a little far out there for me to care about that much. I don't know. I just didn't even notice that.
I mean, that was like the big thing, though. I mean, it's like, oh, you know, lesson's over. You're dead. I'm Sky. You know, I'm Overlord. I'm the bad guy.
No, it is. There's a certain degree of yes, that is cliche. I'm not going to argue that the primary villain killing one of his own men is a cliche.
Yeah, but we're Period. Arguing, but the thing,
there's look, nothing about. There's nothing I can say to that. But to some degree, cliches are cliches
for a reason.
For a reason.
But
right.
Okay, we're arguing over cliches being in a Transformers comic. We have had 25 years of cliches in Transformers comics. So what's one more?
Right. There's a certain degree of that too. Now, are we playing spoiler here? Can I say a spoiler?
Go ahead. This is a spoiler. This is a spoiler zone.
All right. This is huge spoiler. Spoiler. Skip at least 30, 40 seconds ahead. The climax of this issue is the introduction of someone who definitely deserves to be in a Wreckers comic, who's not been touched upon since he was invented, killed, reborn, and zombified by Simon Furman. To my recollection, Impactor. This is a big comic name in some way because he's kind of rarefied. And he was part of the initial run that Simon Furman did, which I think is a meaningful thing that gave the Transformers real personality, which is what I think a lot of his fame comes from. Simon Furman was the first guy to sit down and go, what if we just wrote Transformers like people?
Yeah,
and
was this supposed to be an English accent?
What made them great. I'm sorry, what?
Was that supposed to be an English accent?
No.
Did I kill Inferno again? I'm sorry.
No.
Where was I?
When I'm pretending to have an accent, you'll know because it'll be meant to be funny. That's just how I talk.
Well, see, I thought that's what was going on. You just like failed horribly.
No. That's,
XV failed that's live.
That's this thing called my voice.
Did I kill Quake?
I'm sorry.
In a slightly exacting manner, because I'm from a section of the Midwest that is sort of between the sort of urban and the rural, and what we end up with is no accent at all.
I'm sorry.
Which is why newscasters kind of sound like us.
Oh. Could someone tell me, did I kill Quake or not? I was going to put him in this book. Oh.
It doesn't really matter if he
Nick
killed
Roche
Quake
is Irish, by the way. So if I would have to master the lilt, which is it's much harder than the English accent.
Oh, I thought you were trying to do Furman, though. So
yeah,
okay. No, I'm not trying to. God help me if I'm trying to pretend to be Furman.
I'm gonna kill that Skyquake right off the bat.
You can quit, Rob. You quit.
No, that was Simon Furman as Ringo.
Yeah, I know. And now Simon Furman and Nick Roche will reenact Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
When are we going to get Big Red? That's the question. When is Big Red going to show up in the Wreckers?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of people here. I wouldn't be surprised. Look, Nick Roche is a real Transformers fan. We're always complaining. Why can't we find actual Transformers fans to write these things? Why can't real Transformers fans write the movie? Why can't real Transformers fans write the games? Well, this week, a real Transformers fan is writing the comics, and I think it deserves some notice.
You know, the Dreamwave stuff was kind of crap, but they did a good job of, you know, drafting all these people who actually were fans.
And you're absolutely right about that. No, that's what IDW has been lacking.
It seems to me, though, just in my experience, that when fans do professional writing for something they're fans of, it tends to kind of suck for everybody else.
That's just because we think everything sucks.
Well, I mean...
Come on, Rob, we gotta rise like, above. This is good. Find me the point where this sucks.
The comic?
Yeah, this comic. Where does this comic suck? And also, I'm talking about this. I went to film school and studied script writing and story art creation. This is a really well-structured comic book. A ton of crap happens here. They cover a ton of time. They cover a ton of story arc.
Well, I mean, the strength with this comic is that Nick Roche did the art and he wrote it. I mean, that's when you have someone who's a good writer paired with someone who's a good artist, I mean, it's usually going to be good because they can, you know, they can translate what's in their head to paper. I mean, that's why Frank Miller was so brilliant when he did Daredevil in Dark Knight Returns. But, I mean, I was a little confused from panel to panel occasionally, not for the whole thing. But, of course, I was fighting, you know, a headache and fever. But, you know, I enjoyed it.
Well, half of you haven't read it. The other half of you read it when you're out of your mind. You're telling me I don't know what
Is
I'm talking about.
Is there any other better time to read Transformers fiction?
Well, and as far, and I'll grant you the Verity is naked thing, but let me tell you something. As someone who has read just about every Transformers comic book out there, the art of reading Transformers comics is the art of ignoring humans.
I mean, forgive me if I'm being skeptical, but you're liking something. I mean, something has got to be wrong.
Yes.
You know, like, this can't be true. So, you know.
Hey, man, like if I like something, that means it craps gold and pisses wine, okay? I mean, it's got to be something pretty spiffy for me to take notice and defend it against a lot of you guys.
I like the character selection. I am not going to tell you I do. Overall, this is it's absolutely one of the better Transformers comics I've read. I mean, I'm not like totally in love with it, but it's definitely more positive than negative.
Well, and a lot of my in love with it comes, you know, this is at a relative level. I mean,
you love it like it's,
I gave it like relative? It's the best thing that ever happened. It is so much better than sliced bread. You should put your ham and cheese on it. Well, you know, maybe not. But what I'm saying is, compared to what we've been getting for the past 5 years, this is about as good as it gets.
It's like why Spider-Man 1 was passable.
Hey, oh, I love you for saying that. That's absolutely on the money. Absolutely on the money. What was good about Spider-Man 1 besides how accurate Spider-Man looked?
Nothing. Yeah. So.
Any Spider-Man movie that he looked that good in would have been as widely received. And the second movie, Alfred Molina holds up on all eight of his arms the whole time.
Yeah, totally.
Six arms.
Well, he has two legs.
Okay, you can call the other two legs if you want. Well, but he's Dr. Freaking Octopus. Anyway.
Okay, so the long and short of it is you like it.
The long and short of it is you need to buy it. You need to support this level of Transformers fiction.
I agree.
It doesn't happen often, and you need to vote with your dollars, people. Your dollars. Most of us, we're gulled into going and seeing Revenge of the Fallen, and we have voted for something bad with our dollar.
Absolutely
this
true.
Is something good. You know what? Even if you're not a big comic fan, go and pick up a few issues of this comic book and enjoy them. I don't think you're going to pick these up and be disappointed.
Are there, what, two variant covers?
There's two variant covers.
Get them both.
Get them both. Get them both. In fact, I'll tell you what. When I go to pick up the copies I reserved at the only place I could find these tomorrow, if there are any standing there, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy every copy of Last Stand of the Wreckers number one. I am going to take my card from ENI and TFormers.com and paperclip it on there and write courtesy of and tell the retailer to give them to whoever asked for them.
That would be awesome. You should totally do that.
Because I support this level of Transformers fiction to that degree. I will vote with my dollar to the extent that it is humanly possible.
Yeah, and if they do this, they'll hire more fan writers, and next year we're going to get Spotlight Echo Warrior.
Yeah. That would be great. Get MG Dinobot to do something.
Yes.
Hi, this is Joe Ibe, also known as SX, and also known as the Metal Hawk guy. And you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
The topic we mentioned last week, we wanted to cover. We have covered the best and worst toy lines, but we want to go from a high level to a low level and pick out the best and worst toys. Gentlemen, take it away. Fight.
Under three.
Under three. Best or worst?
For best or worst.
Does it matter?
Both, really.
Hey, man, under three was about the best Happy Meal toy that had come out at the time. I mean, relative to its competitors, it didn't get much better than Under 3.
Under 3 was the best Under 3 toy ever, you're right.
My prime cabinet. No, I'm gonna say all of the Happy Meal toys. What Happy Meal toy up to under three was better than under three?
Bumblebee.
Which Bumblebee?
The 84 Happy Meal Bumblebee.
I thought that was 86.
86? I was wrong. Yeah, maybe about 86, yeah.
I thought it was 86.
It didn't even transform, though. I mean, not in any way, did it? I mean, it was just sort of a cast of Bumblebee.
I'm trying to remember vaguely.
I mean, there's only one available in
St. Louis. As I recall, they were multicolored casts of Bumblebee in different colors over a black background. Now, I've never held one of these things in my hand, so I don't know what quality they are. But to my understanding, they were just like,
hey, this looks kind of like a Transformer, right?
And that was about all you got.
That's why we got it under three.
No, under three, actually, even though it sucked, had something you could call a beast mode. I mean, for an under three toy, it was the under three toy was better than the Beast Wars toys that came out with it.
I don't know. Beetle's pretty damn awesome. And then Jaguar. And then Jaguar got reused in Japanese manga as Ravage's daddy.
Yeah, I'd never heard that before. That changes my whole opinion of him.
Yeah, it's like, yes, that's...
Well, there's something glamorizing about actual use as a character, isn't there?
That's pretty much most of me. What IDW gave them all profiles, but did they give under three a profile?
Well, here's the. Did anyone read that someone did a Transformers mosaic where under three was the star, and it was in the style of Sin City?
Wow!
Whoa. So that's awesome. Wrap your head around that, if you will.
Hmm. Yeah. So, what about Armada Cyclonus?
Seriously,
I like Cyclonus.
Best or worst?
I like that toy.
It's a good. It's okay.
Do you like that much?
Well, I like Power. Yeah, I mean, considering one, the price point.
$10.
Two, I mean, yeah, it's got a good. I mean, it's got a decent transformation posability, and then on top of that, it had some of the best Mini-Con interaction. If you consider the gear gimmick with it,
okay.
That interacted with more than just its individual Mini-Con. I mean, it had a whole set of extra Mini-Cons that were
actually
designed to work with him.
That is pretty cool. I hadn't thought of that, but no, you're absolutely right with that one.
He's a good toy. I think I just sold mine.
Yeah, when you put it like that, there is a lot more to him. Than you think?
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the problem here is that this is a complicated question in a sort of a philosophical way, because when you ask something like this, you're asking like, okay, well, which is the best toy? When you got to ask back, well, in what way? What's the best for a kid to play with? What's the best design? You know, what has the most original engineering? These are all valid questions in those ways. I kind of feel like in terms of the best toy. For my part, what I would say is, you know, like for instance, a whole line like Animated, right? You pull, I don't know, say Jazz out of Animated, right? He's pretty show accurate. He's very well articulated. You know. Is he the greatest toy ever? No. Yeah. He transforms into what he transforms into a show. He transforms into what he transforms to, you know, in an alt mode. But if you take Animated together as a line, each individual toy looks better and better the more you sort of stack it with those things. It's an amazing level of quality. They all are about the same. They all go together. They all increase in quality when you put them together. That's just one way to look at it. It's a very similar situation with classics. You know, in Universe 2.0, those things, are they fantastic on their own? Well, maybe not, but they're fantastic when you take them in the context of that they're a remake of something. They capture an essence of a toy long gone. There was something specific.
Was good.
It's funny you should say that. I am looking at the Japanese, what was it, Henke Cyclonus, as we say that.
No, the Universe one was way better than the Henke one.
Oh, all right. Well, we could argue about that. But, you know, and then there's just like, well, what's the best toy itself? What's the best engineering? If you're talking about engineering, then we go to things like, you know, God help me, Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class Prime is amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's a huge amount of engineering. And, you know, on that same kind of note, even though maybe his alt mode was not at what everyone would have hoped for, Masterpiece Prime.
He's an amazingly engineered toy, but his
he's an amazingly engineered toy. I mean, like, how can you ignore that when you talk about who's the best toy?
You know what I think?
He has his flaws. He has his flaws too. Hang on, no, I'm still ranting. I promise to rant.
I think you're thinking about this.
Just name it random.
You're thinking about this too hard. What's your favorite toy?
No, My brain does not work that way. My brain is a little too much like a pinball machine.
What's your favorite?
Don't click the random page link and tell us whatever comes up. Best on what terms? And then to say again, all right, hang on. Now we're talking best toy. What's the best toy to best to play with? Well, I am extremely fond of the Voyager class animated Optimus Prime.
The Voyager class. He's a good toy.
He's a great toy. Now, he looks in the show. He's fun to play with. He's heroic. He has a faceplate. You can take the faceplate down. Now, while I'm ranting, hang on. I got one last thing I want to say in a rant, which I didn't get to. There is one toy, very random. It's out of the Beast Machines line, which is the was originally released as Knight / Cheetor, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was re-released in the Universe line, and I think re-released again, or maybe later, as CAT scan.
Botcon exclusive
CAT scan.
Yep.
It has some amazing engineering elements that I have never seen before since. Principally
the shoulder
in the
swords.
Well, the shoulder swords are great. The shoulder swords are, again, are exactly like that. I haven't seen those before or since. He can pull those out. They look like they do in the show. They're spring-loaded. It's a great play feature. The other thing is the head replacement dynamic. Does anybody remember that?
I remember Ultra Cheetor or Mega Cheetor. Okay. I don't remember Night Slash.
I'm going to try and describe this as well as I can verbally. It's a very strange thing. The chest and back open up, and inside there's a barrel that holds the two shoulders together. And out on the outside of the barrel is sort of a track on which little plastic pegs rotate. The robot head and upper shoulder and the cat head and upper shoulder exist independently of one another and rotate on this track from top to bottom around the barrel. I don't think I've ever seen that before or since. And it really stuck with me as a well-designed toy. The other toy I would cite is actually an Energon toy, which is the Megatron Galvatron from Energon, which I think just looks awesome and is hugely fun to play with.
It's a fun toy, but I was playing with it a couple days ago, and it doesn't have the same effect for me today that it had 5 years ago. I mean,
it has a vestigial button. I think that's my favorite part when I think back about it. It has a vestigial button that harkens back to the original Galvatron toy. It's the same shape. It has the little circle in the middle. It doesn't do anything, but that was the button you used to press to make Galvatron make that little noise.
Okay.
So I promised everyone I would make this segment long enough to be a decent segment, and there you have it.
Thank you, Ender. Thank you.
There you have
success.
Hey, JD, you picked Cyclonus from Armada. XV.
I don't know. Somebody else go. I'm still thinking.
Okay, John.
You know what? I'm going to go with Armada Deluxe, or whatever the deluxes were called in Armada, Prime.
Supercon.
Because, Supercon Prime, just because...
It's a great action figure.
Yes, it's a great action figure. He's clearly Optimus Prime, but he's not. Like every inch of him has been reworked or reimagined to be completely different. His chest, thank God, is not the front of a truck. You know, it's a grill, but it's not like, you know, it's not the cliched thing. But
you mean
still...
Bendy Prime, right?
Say what?
Bendy
yes,
Prime?
Yes, like Bendy yeah. Prime.
Okay, yeah. I'm just asking. I'm just asking. What short is talking about?
That's probably his only downfall is that his gimmick, his punching gimmick's pretty lame. It doesn't really work. But, you know, as a concept, I think he works perfectly as an update to Optimus Prime because he's not like the slavish, you know, just recreation of Optimus Prime. He's something clearly different, but at the same time, he's Optimus Prime. And like Ryan said, he's a great action figure.
That's a great observation. I didn't say Bendy Prime to be derogatory. I was establishing what exactly we were talking about.
It's kind of a two-sided thing with the gimmick, too. The fact that the gimmick doesn't do so much, it's bad from the gimmick's point of view, but it also contributes to the toy being so solid. It's not hindered by the gimmick in any way.
What I like about Supercon Prime is the same thing I like about Deluxe Optimus Primal from Beast Machines. It's just, it's poseable, it looks nice in robot mode. Except for the color scheme for Optimus Primal, but it's a great action figure. It's like it's not just a decent Transformer. It's like you could see yourself playing with this as an action figure, even if it didn't transform. I like that.
Oh, I love I remember I was so excited about this Prime coming out. I remember seeing it in Toy Fair a few months before it came out, and walking around following my roommates and my then girlfriend, now wife, being like, look how cool this is! The mouth moves! It's gonna be so great, man! I was like so all about this Prime. So, no, I liked the redesign. It didn't even bother me that it wasn't the front of a truck, which...
No, Armada Prime is probably my favorite Optimus Prime design ever, just because it's so different from the typical Optimus. Mm-hmm.
But still captures a real Prime. Yeah, it's a good Prime. It doesn't follow the model, but it's still valid and good.
Rob, what's your pick?
Huh?
Wake up, man! Get your crap together.
Oh, I'm sorry, I passed out there. I don't know about you guys, but that Armada Laserbeak's really good, and
I never picked it up. I only saw it in the store once, and apparently it was a shelf warmer.
Yeah, there's no way to miss it.
glowed.
Maybe I think they threw at you while you tried to leave the store.
That's how I got mine, actually. Actually, in all seriousness, I think what was his name? Supreme Optimus Primal from the Beast Machines toy. It ended up in red.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, because not only is it accurate, probably the most accurate portrayal.
The growl freaks me out, dude.
Yeah, that's when you have to put them away for it to stop going, because it'll play with you more than you'll play with it.
I prefer Blast Punch.
Oh, Blast Punch is excellent, too.
What percentage of our primes, if I'm saying this wrong, what percentage of our toys that we're picking as best are not Optimus Prime?
Not picking Optimus Prime.
What toys that come out are a percentage that aren't Optimus Prime?
That's true, too.
Now, you're talking again. I'm sitting like 4 feet away from like several hundred Optimus Primes.
You're a sick, sick man.
I would go so far. I am one of the top 10, I think, Optimus Prime collectors in the world.
You should talk to that Ultra Convoy guy on 2005.
Ultra Convoy sent me a prototype Lucky Draw Henke Prime.
Cripes.
For fun.
Jesus.
I didn't pay him a dime for it. He was like, how you doing, Ender? I'm like, I'm all right. What are you doing? He's like, I want to send you something. This thing's got to be worth a grand.
That's amazing.
It really is.
Nicest guy ever.
He seems nice, yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
XV, did you come up with a pick yet?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I won't. Rob's choice is a really good one and is really up there on my list. But for me, I think I'm going to go with Transmetal Megatron.
One of my favorite toys ever.
Except not the Hasbro Transmetal Megatron, because that'll break. I'm going to go with Metal's Megatron.
It's a little deeper purple, isn't it?
The brown is replaced with black, and the purple is different. Yeah. Actually, every plastic color.
Yes.
I always wanted to pick up the Versus Pack Optimus Transmetal Convoy, Beast Convoy, and Megatron, but I just never, as many times as I saw it, I just never bothered picking it up.
Now I totally want to. I've been passing on it for years, but now I'm really thinking about it.
You know, I thought we were talking about just a decade there, but if I want to say my favorite of all time, and everyone in the world is going to argue with me on this, Power Master Optimus Prime is like my number one toy ever as far as Transformers go.
When I was a kid,
that was an awesome toy.
It has flaws in the long run, but at the time, I cannot imagine anything cooler.
In my house,
let me tell you something. We'll get here because I'll start to talk about it when we get closer to the day. I don't celebrate Easter because I'm not into that. But I got my Power Master Optimus Prime as a surprise. It was before I could keep track of, like, you know, when toys were going to come out. It was my Easter surprise one year. So from now on, for me, Easter Sunday is the day that Prime rose from the dead.
That's great.
Wow.
I have God Jinrai sitting on my mantle.
He rose again.
That's great. Rob, I'm not going to argue with you. I have God Jinrai sitting on my mantle. And,
yeah, I have about six of them, I think.
So oh, I envy you, sir. I have my old Power Master Prime. I have the small one, and I have a God one all in my Prime cabinet.
Yeah, I still got the one I got.
Don't buy anyone who tells me that they are Prime wearing a different set of pants.
No. I still got my one I got for Christmas in 88. But, yeah, I just – every chance I've gotten to get one, I bought one. I just love that toy. I mean, people want to say it's flawed. It's flawed. It's like, yeah, but you know what? The toy came out in 1988. Forget those flaws because they don't really matter.
Right.
It's a brick. Yeah, true. Guess what? It had great articulation for its time.
And he hung out with Tommy Kennedy. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you get the Japanese version where the fists push out instead of. It is a better version. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But that is a fantastic toy. That's one of my favorites, absolute favorites.
It was the Armada Super Base Prime of its time.
Yeah. No. That's, you know what's wrong about that? That is what is the basis for all Super Base Primes to come.
Oh, of course.
There are a bunch of. This is the template. This is the original. This was not a cliche. This is what makes that a cliche. This Prime makes, you know, the Prime Jetfire combination in Revenge of the Fallen.
The movie one or the Armada one?
And any version. That's what I'm saying, is that none of them would have come to pass were it not for this toy. This is the origination of that idea. And that's a cool thing in itself.
What about
Diaclone-powered Convoy? Wouldn't that really be the origination of the idea?
Oh, well, you're talking about, like, the Ultra Magnus version of it? Yeah, I guess you could argue that.
But it sucks.
But it's, you know, it's not, didn't, you know what, I think what killed it is it had half the idea, it made it into somebody else, it didn't make it into Prime.
The engineering concept of putting the Prime toy into a big armored body had already existed before Power Master Prime.
In a crappy
perhaps
way.
Perhaps within the toy, but not within the resurrection of Prime sense or the creation. Like, you take a little Prime and you make a bigger Prime. This is like you take a toy that was Prime and include it as a part into something that is not. The other thing that's great about Power Master Prime is that it creates the entire concept of the repeating character. We don't have to kill all our characters, because that was what destroyed the Transformers almost, was Hasbro had this, written in stone sort of corporate policy that, like, we kill or destroy or remove all of our product line every 2 years, and we replace it with another. And with Transformers, for some reason, that didn't work. They had a problem. And to compensate for that problem, this is what they did. They made another Optimus Prime. So instead of killing all our characters every year, what we do is take the popular ones and recycle them into an entirely new toy, maybe a new persona, maybe a new universe. But this was the origination of that idea.
G.I. Joe did changing. That.
Well, G.I. Joe did that again, but that was the same time. It was all that same idea. I mean, in the original G.I. Joe movie, Duke was supposed to die, and because it worked so poorly,
he was in a coma.
No.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know what that was meant to be. I don't need to tell you that.
I know.
So yes. He was in a, you know, Duke's okay. I'm in a voiceover. You know, I mean,
dude, Doc is like the voiceover for my life. That's the way I look at it.
But I'm just saying, this is the origination of that idea, and that idea has really been the basis of the continuing model for the Transformers for 25, getting close to 30 years.
Okay.
And this toy is the origination of that. Okay. So I back that up as a great all-time toy.
I'll go ahead and give you my my favorite and my least favorite back-to-back. My favorite, and it's probably going to come as a little surprise as much as we talked about it lately, Armada Megatron. Great gimmicks, great likeness. The robot mode is great. The articulation's limited, but overall, it's just a fantastic toy. Don't need to go any farther. The worst toy...
Worst head ever.
I like it. I like that he has a little claw thing on his head.
Oh, the ears!
I love that!
Antlers.
Antlers! Megatron the Red-Nosed Reindeer! I mean, it was ridiculous. Oh, if they pulled those things off of there, I would have thought this toy was fantastic.
I've like
never
that.
Seen one feature kill a toy so completely.
You can almost say, my worst toy. You can almost say it's a feature. I'm gonna have to back this up because it may not be the worst toy technically ever. It may not be the worst selling toy ever, but the toy that probably has the worst rep of any toy ever. We talked about Transkito earlier. None of them compared to Beast Machine Supreme Cheetor. If it were a Mega, it would be an okay toy, but its size just ruined it. It sold so poorly. You could buy it for a couple of dollars, like a year and a half later.
I bought one for full price downtown in the city of Chicago.
The hell's wrong with you?
I carried it home proudly. It was big. It was the first Supreme toy ever. I didn't want them to not make any more Supreme toys. And let me remind everybody that the big threat, if you were paying attention online at the time, was that if you did not buy your Supreme Cheetor, there would be no Supreme Optimus Primal from Beast Machines.
That didn't seem to disturb most of us.
Air Attack. That was a bother. I'm a Prime collector. I wanted that Air Attack Optimus Primal badly. And there was a point where it looked like they were just not going to come out with Air Attack Optimus Primal.
Very true. Very true.
Because
Megatron.
Supreme Cheetor sucked so hard.
There are other Supreme toys that suck, like Starscream from Cybertron. I mean, that's a crappy toy, but not on the same level of crap that Supreme Cheetor was.
I'm lucky I've never unpackaged mine.
It's not a good toy, but the thing is, it sold better a little bit than Cheetor. So,
well, it looked better in the package.
Yeah, it looks fine in the package, and he's got the crown. And the toy itself,
Starscream, was also sold in robot mode.
Yeah, that helped. That helped a lot. Oh,
wasn't every Supreme besides Cheetor sold in robot mode then?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that
Supreme Cheetor was like a coat hanger to hang other big Transformers on.
Not a good toy, though. Not a good toy.
I have vivid memories of buying that toy and sitting across from a table at a friend at a semi-famous Chicago restaurant with him looking at me like, why did you buy that?
What restaurant?
It's something 3. It's because they serve almost a buffet of steak and fish and ribs.
Now I'm hungry. Thank
43?
Just like
is
that.
It?
I don't know.
It's right in the downtown towards the lakeshore. I ate a good deal of meals there. And I met a friend there that evening. He was like, what the hell is that huge box?
Okay, do we want to go? Does everyone else want to take a stab at the worst toy, or do we want to end it there?
Let's save that for next week.
Okay, I'll come up with something.
I think it might just be Supreme Cheetor. I would have to think about that to find anything worse.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Okay, let's go ahead and, Rob, why on earth did you pick this episode?
It's got Overlord in it.
And Overlord was in the records.
Yep. Because remember our extremely awesome planning meeting of that last night, Brian?
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's like, oh crap, we haven't done Twitter Theater. What do you want to pick?
We were, like, talking on AIM about, like, how sick we were. Oh, crap, Twitter Theater.
I wanted to pick the episode of Beast...
Did you guys send me this thing?
It's in the show notes.
It's also on Twitter.
He's not on
do
Twitter.
Do you not follow at TF Radio? You really should, you know.
Yes, everyone should follow at TF Radio.
I should.
It's a fun ride.
I've heard of Twitter.
XVs is a program called Bitter to access Twitter, so you may want to look into that.
It seems there so appropriate.
Yes.
I suggested, and I couldn't think of the episode title off the top of my head, the one episode of Beast Machines where Thrust flips Optimus Primal off.
That would be Home Soil, I believe.
Yeah, we should have gone. Next week, that's what we'll do. That's a great episode.
And all we'll talk about is Thrust flipping off Optimus Prime.
Thrust is one of my favorite characters ever.
You know, we've talked about that before, too, in an older episode.
We talked about that years ago. That was like, we probably spent a whole show.
We talked about that since we brought the show back.
Yeah.
It doesn't
surprise me.
Okay.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome. Okay, anything else?
One thing that only happens when Mainframe is animating your shows.
What happened to Mainframe?
They dissolved and got remade into Rainmaker Entertainment. I heard they're doing CGI Barbie movies.
I worked at FAO Schwartz, and on occasion those CGI Barbie movies would be playing on the first floor.
Wonder how the writing is on them things, you know?
I never wondered enough to check, let me tell you.
One of the producers from Beast Wars and Beast Machines did another CGI show recently called The League of Super Evil. It got a pretty similar feel to Beast Wars and Beast Machines, at least as far goes as the visual humor in it.
Now, somebody tell me if I'm mistaken on this. There was a show that was a little more cel-shaded looking called Skyland.
I don't remember that.
I just saw a little bit of it, but I seem to remember looking at
it. Didn't have a toy line that quickly got clearanced away at Target?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it didn't go very well, but the show itself, I never saw the toys, to be honest. The show itself reminded me a lot of it. I seem to remember looking up that a good deal of the people who had worked on it were sort of Mainframe refugees, and the show itself was pretty good.
Yeah, I think the Mainframe people of like real talent and ability ended up going on to other studios.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got. It's too bad. That was they were really doing a great job. They were moving towards
Mainframe
something.
Mainframe was really groundbreaking.
Oh, yeah, and they were moving towards something that still hasn't been matched, if you ask me.
Hmm. Yeah, few CGI series that can match the visual quality, especially of Beast Machines toward the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, say what you will about Beast Machines. I mean, the animation was absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It still looks good today. It
highlighted everything that was good about what Mainframe could do. Things like facial expressions, body language, all the little subtleties.
And it's 10 years later.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and just look at all of the Japanese CGI stuff that's come out in the meantime.
Oh, God. I was like, we're going back to CGI and Cybertron. It's just like it's from 1995. Oh, God.
It looks like G2 commercials, basically.
I know. It looks like commercials. It looks like commercials. Well, and...
The CGI in Babylon 5 from 1992 looks better than Cybertron.
Yeah, it does. It does. I quite like Babylon 5.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Anything else?
See through the station sometimes.
No, I think we've about done it for this week.
Okay. Go buy Last Stand of the Wreckers. If you ever want to get good Transformers fiction again, go buy it. If you don't read comics, fine. Give it to somebody else. Go buy it anyway.
Give it to a kid.
Your cartoons or your movies someday will be good. Invest in the future of the Transformers. Go buy Last Stand of the Wreckers.
We can hope. Check us out, tfradio.net, for all the stuff. Blah, 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 blah. You can vote for the title of our new podcast. I'm about out of juice at this point. I need more caffeine. You can vote for the name of our new podcast. Go to tformers.com. We have links in the show notes. Follow us on Twitter. Join us on Facebook. Yada, yada, yada. Anything else, guys? Any plugs? Any last-minute additions?
Are you podcasting from your outhouse this week?
No. It's not an outhouse. It's a building.
But it's funnier if I ask you if you're podcasting from your outhouse.
It was like 40 degrees in there last night. I'm not going to do that yet. But come spring, yes, expect that.
He doesn't know it, but I'm podcasting from his outhouse.
Oh, no.
podcast coming from inside the house.
Oh no!
Do not adjust your iPod.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?